Lord, help us to see you more clearly, to love you more dearly, to follow you more nearly day by day. Amen. Please be seated. As I stand here this morning reading the reading about John the Baptist, I'm struck by the similarity in my vocation to his, standing there in funny clothes, shouting to a crowd of people, "Repent and be saved! Repent and be saved!" And I think to my line of work, where I stand here in funny clothes before a crowd of people and basically say, "Repent and be saved! Repent and be saved!" I also find it parallel that when he's looking at the Pharisees and they just aren't getting it, it's roughly about the same as when I'm looking at my 2-year-old son, who is now taking my toothbrush and brushing the dog, and I tell him, "Repent and be saved, repent and be saved," and it does nothing. And so it's about as effective as it is with the Pharisees. I think that parallel actually works very well, though, because in the case of my son, it's not that he's a bad person, right? It's just that he's just not at that level yet. He doesn't understand yet. He needs to grow and learn and mature. And when he's having a temper tantrum, you can't give him a behavioral psychology textbook and say, "This is why what you're doing is unreasonable." He won't get it, right? And the Pharisees are in that similar position. John the Baptist knows Jesus is coming, and he knows the Pharisees are not prepared. They're just not at that place yet. They're good people. They're trying hard. They're good and faithful people of God, doing their best, but they're just not ready for Jesus yet. And so the role of John the Baptist is to prepare the way. And he starts by approaching them at their level. So when my son takes a toy away from another child, I can't explain to him about God's call for us to love and human dignity and equitability and justice. He's not ready for that. What I can do, though, is I can take the toy away. I can put my arm around him and explain, "You can't take this from someone else. You can have it when she's done with it. Give it back," hoping that as he learns and grows, he will become able over time to learn about equitability, justice, the love of God. And that's what John the Baptist is doing. He's approaching the Pharisees at their level, where they are in this moment. And where they are in this moment is knowing that they do wrong, knowing that they've sinned, and thinking that the solution is, "I will come, I will wash myself clean, and then I'll be good with God." What they're talking about is doing penance. And in our old translations of the Latin into the English in the Bible, it actually was very common to see the passage that John the Baptist is saying here as "do penance." Do penance and be saved. Do penance and be saved. And we've translated it differently now. We now translate it as repent. And that may sound like a subtle difference, but it's actually, there's something fundamentally different about it. Sharing the same root words, the idea of "do penance and be saved" is kind of this idea of pay the price. You've done wrong, pay the price for what you've done wrong, and then you'll be good with God. And so that's what they're coming to do. They're coming to the river, they're paying the price, and John the Baptist is stopping them when they approach the river and saying, "You brood of vipers, this is not just like paying a parking ticket and then you're good. What we're calling you to is repentance. We're calling you to repent." Which at its heart, repentance means to turn around, to change the way you're living your life. He wants to stop them in their tracks because the thing they don't get yet, the thing that Jesus is going to call them to that they don't quite get yet, is that when they do wrong in their lives, when they're not loving their neighbor, when they're not loving God the way they're supposed to, God isn't interested in them paying a fine, making a sacrifice, washing themselves, and then saying, "I'm good now," and not changing their behavior, going right back to their old behavior as they did before. No, what God is calling them to is when you've done wrong, when you have failed to love your neighbor as yourself, come to the river and find out how you can turn your life around and change the way you live so that you are more loving of your neighbor, more loving of your God. Repent and be saved. So now where does that leave us? I don't think it's a coincidence that here in the Advent season, we are reading this reading of John the Baptist, because the Advent season is a season of preparing ourselves. It's a season where we are being called to prepare for Jesus. We look back in Advent at the time of these fine people in the Bible as they prepared for Jesus coming into their lives, and we look forward to preparing for Jesus in our own lives because Jesus is coming. And so I find myself, again, standing here in the same role as John the Baptist, standing in my funny clothes, not eating locusts, not eating honey, but standing here in my funny clothes, looking at the crowd of people this Advent, trying to prepare for Christ and saying, repent and be saved. Repent and be saved. Look into your own lives as I'm going to be called this year to look into my life and to wonder, how are we loving our neighbor around us? Where are we falling short? How can we change our behavior so that we are living more as God would have us live to prepare for Jesus to come into our lives, for Jesus to come into our hearts? Now, some of you may remember that last year, this very time last year in Advent, I was standing here and I made a challenge for y'all, saying, I want you to take this year, sit down around the table with your family, with your friends, and pick something you're going to do this year. Pick something you're going to change to love a little bit more, to love your neighbors around you, to make the world a little bit better of a place around you. Some of you may have been in this room when I said that, and some of you may have done that and said, great, we did that. We found it made a difference. We're now more loving of our neighbor than we were before. And if so, great. And if so, great. But guess what? It's Advent again. And so it's time to pick a new thing. It's time to sit down around the table with your family again and pick something this year that you're going to work on. And if you were standing here and you tried and it just didn't quite work and you fell short this year, guess what? It's Advent. It's a wonderful time to try again. And if you weren't even here in the room a year ago, this is a wonderful time to jump in and to become part of it. This is a wonderful time. I'm serious that we said, you know, not just say this year, well, I'm going to be more loving, but to pick something concrete and actionable. To say this year, I'm going to make this little change to pave the way a little bit more for Jesus in this world. And I'll tell you what, in this room of people, in the hundreds of people who are members of St. Paul's, if every year we do this, by the ends of our lives, by the time we're all gone, this world will be a significantly better place because of little actions each of us take year after year. My son, as a little two-year-old, isn't ready to go and make the world a better place yet. But in a year, he'll grow and mature and become three and be ready for a little more. And then over that year, he'll grow and mature and be ready for a little bit more. And be ready for more and more until the time he's 100 years old, he will still be ready for more. And we as a people can do that too. Every year, every Advent, looking at our lives and saying, okay, we grew a little bit. We matured a little bit in our faith. We matured as the people of God. We're ready for a little bit more. So this is a wonderful time where John the Baptist is calling out to the Pharisees, but he's calling out to us as the people of God who are coming to the river waiting for Jesus to come. And John is telling us, reminding us all the time, repent and be saved. For Jesus Christ is on the way. Amen.